This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
All right. At WGR550.com, Sal's got state of the wide receiver position, but we have a little bit of, I don't know if it's news so much as it's a social media
thing.
Sure.
Sal also did state of the running backs, and we haven't spoken to him about it really
yet. That's right.
So.
That's right. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. Before we get to the James Cook thing on social media and his contract, the Bills did make an announcement yesterday. They did make news with a hiring of a special teams coach. So let's just start there because, of course, the Matthew Smiley departure and now Chris Tabor coming in most recently from Carolina. What can you tell us about the Bills' new hire?
Yeah, so the Bills haven't officially announced this, but it was reported yesterday, so it looks like that's going to be the case. Chris Tabor is going to be joining the Bills as their new special teams coordinator. So I think the biggest thing here to know is it appears the Bills have really gone in the direction of experience, you know, versus their last two coordinators. Remember, obviously, Matthew Smiley, you know, he had been on the job for 3 years, but his job with the Bills was his first time as a coordinator. He had worked under Heath Farwell, who... that was also his first time as a coordinator. So really, the last two coordinators the Bills had in special teams, it was their first time doing it as a coordinator. This is not the case. This guy has been a coordinator for 14 years, 11 through 23, 13 years. Yep. He did not coach last year. He wasn't coaching. But anyway, since 2011, outside of last season, he's been a special teams coordinator. So he has plenty of experience across all different, three different organizations, worked with different coaches, got his start. He worked a while ago with Dave Taub, who is the chief special teams coordinator. They were on the same staff, at one point as well. He's regarded as one of the best in the game. So my point here is I think it's important to note, I think the Bills and Sean McDermott really went the experienced route versus the last two coordinators who were first time on the job when they were hired.
You know, one interesting thing about Tabor, I mean, maybe you've heard the name or thought the name, Sal. I did not know this, and it did not ring a bell. But, you know, experience is one thing. He's also had experience being a head coach of NFL teams on an interim basis in two different spots. Once in Chicago, Matt Nagy tested positive for COVID and couldn't coach, and he stepped in. And then Carolina, six games when Frank Reich went out. And I wonder if there's anything to say about that, that, you know, you talk about experience, 40 years in the game, you know, a special teams coordinator, but to be given that call when the interim tag is needed, I don't know, does that say anything about a coach to you?
Yes, it does. I think it says a lot about what you're – well, here's why it's important. I think it's a great point you bring up, Jeremy. I've talked about this many times in the past with other people on the staff. He is not the only one on the staff. Anytime you can surround yourself as a head coach with coaches who've coached either multiple positions or been coordinators who are now position coaches, or been head coaches who are now coordinators, those people understand the dynamic of how a team works better than if you're just coming up as a position coach. So a guy like Chris Tabor, in this case, is going to understand how the entire team works together, not just how it relates to special teams. You know who this also is? Rob Boris. Rob Boris has experience as a coordinator in this league. He's a tight ends coach. You go and look at Aaron Cromer is a great example. Aaron Cromer was also an interim head coach for the New Orleans Saints, actually. He's the offensive line coach for the Buffalo Bills. Like, these guys, they've actually had time as in some capacity running complete sides of balls or running an entire team, and that really helps. And in a special teams role, it really matters because, as all coaches will tell you guys, the special teams coordinator is the one coach that touches every part of the roster. You're not just offense, you're not just defense, it's a blend of everybody. So that's why it's always been interesting to me. I've always felt that maybe special teams coordinators should get maybe a little bit more of a look when it comes time for head coaching interviews. It's where John Harbaugh came from. It's where Marv Levy came from. It's where Bill Cowher came from. When you're a special teams coordinator, you have to deal with the offensive room, the defensive room, the wide receivers, the DBs, and of course all of the special teams. You kind of understand everything about the roster and how it's shaped. So I do think, to me, I'm sure it's an added benefit. I don't know if Sean McDermott was looking for someone like that specifically, but I think it obviously matters to have somebody like that.
Last thing on the special team, Sal, do we feel like they have the players to get good results there? It just would be about Tabor coming in and giving a better, coaching acumen. Like, do you feel like they need to add a couple of core special teams guys?
You know, I don't know about, I think they have their core special teams guys. We talk, how many times, Joe, have we sat here every year? And I know you and I have even debated on the Extra Point show, like, maybe they've gone too far in that role. But I don't know if you do that as much anymore with the new kickoff rules, but I think you have to think about it. But you look at the return man. I think they got the return man, right? Brandon Codrington. Yeah. I'm not talking about kickoffs right now, right? I'm talking about punts. Kickoffs are a little different now. I think they got the return man, right, in Brandon Codrington. Do they have the kicker in Tyler Bass? That's going to be, I think that he had a nice turnaround. The punter in Sam Martin, I thought he had a nice year last year. Reed Ferguson is a free agent, but it's obviously somebody who wants to stay in Buffalo, and he's been here a long time with Sean McDermott. So from that particular aspect, yeah, you could always do some tweaks, no doubt. It's funny looking back, it helps. I tweeted out yesterday, I don't know if you guys saw it, where his special teams units ranked, right? And look, this is so random sometimes. It could be really impacted by a lot of things, but much more good than bad, much more top half of the league than bottom half of the league, and I color-coded everything. But it is funny, I looked those early years, Josh Cribbs was his return man in Cleveland for a couple of years, right? It helps when you have someone like that who can really elevate your numbers.
And we can translate this to get to the receivers here a little bit, and this will be more about the receiver position, Sal, but Mac Hollins, just kind of looking over PFF on all their special teams grades for the Bills last year, 58 players played at least some special team snaps, and Hollins ranked 7th. One of the higher guys on this mark. A lot of them were on punt coverage and a few on kickoff too. But do you feel like, as we get into receiver here, you wrote about state of the receivers on our website, WGR550.com. Would you assume the Bills want Hollins back, not just for receiver, but for the special teams role too?
I would, and I do. I don't know if the Bills' plan is for Mac Hollins to play so much on special teams next year. He is getting a little bit older. He was good at it. I think you'd like to be a little bit, younger and have guys who are a little bit more core, as you put it earlier, Joe. But certainly it's a role he can play. And he was good at it this year. I'm interested to see how he fits into the wide receiver core next year after some tweaks, because I do think there's going to be some tweaks. Just on Hollins in general, I did write about him as well as the state of the wide receivers. I mean, how can you be disappointed with the year he put together? When he was signed, how many people said he's a roster bubble guy, right? There were people, I'd come out with you guys, is Mac Hollins going to make the team? We're like, yeah, I think so, right? And then right away, guys, I will tell you, in the summer, it was clear, this guy's on the team. And you could see, we'd go out to practice and he's going to be a part of this team. He's making the team, probably going to play some special teams. And I felt even he's going to have a pretty good role at wide receiver. Well, it turned out even more so. And he is going to be a free agent. I just don't think he'll have a huge market. Like, he's a journeyman. He had his best year in Buffalo. How many teams are going to be clamoring to say, we got to get Mac Hollins? No disrespect to him, but it just feels like this is the right fit for him, and I think both sides would want to work something out.
Yeah, Sal, I'm looking. Spotrac has him at 2.4 for calculated value. Last year, he played like at 1.5 with the cap going up. Like, it wouldn't surprise me. This gets back to, I like to point out all the time, Sal, Brandon Bean says everyone sees who you pay. And I feel like Hollins would be a guy that they could easily bring an offer to they feel is fair. And he might say, life's good here. I have a role.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's happy, including all of his teammates. I think it'd be happy for him as well. He seems to be a very popular guy among fans, among teammates. So, yeah, it seems like whatever. I think I'd be surprised if it didn't get done even before free agency began.
I agree with that. We'll see where it goes. It is interesting. You know, he wound up being the leading receiver for the team in the AFC Championship game. He actually caught a couple of deep balls. Like, as the year went on, I think there was even a little bit more of, okay, there's a few other things they can do here. So he'll have a role next year. My thought is he'll be back. They'll work something out because everything you just said, Jeremy.
Rest of the receiver room, Sal. You know, I'm thinking back to last year and how MVS was a guy that was an idea. They wanted speed. They wanted that guy, and he just never really fit. So future additions at the position might be something like that. To me, the biggest question about the receiver room right now is Keon Coleman and their faith in that he will do what they need him to do. You know, the end of season press conference about being disappointed in how he came back from injury, and maybe that's a point about maturity. Like, they've grown players through the years, and they've seen players come through and become more mature and more prepared to be pros. And I wonder how much they will feel comfortable just counting on that happening for Coleman versus maybe wanting to insulate him a little bit.
I think they need and they want Coleman to just – he needs to burst out next year. Like, the comments from Bean and McDermott at the end of the year, like, about how he was starting – I think Sean even said he was starting to be dominant at one point, and then he had the injury, and then Bean said they didn't see the same player when he came back. The lack of physicality especially, right? They had a talk with him about it, and I'm sure that was, hey, a lot of it – and Bean said this, and look, he's a young player. He's probably never truly been through that sort of thing where he's been injured. He hasn't missed games. You know, it's a grind. It's a rookie wall for a lot of people. At that point that he got injured, it was in the second half of the year. He's missing games. He comes back. You know, it's a tough, not only physical hurdle, it's a tough mental hurdle for a lot of these guys. I don't think they insulate him at all, Jeremy. I think next year is all systems go. We need Keon Coleman to step on the field week one and be a difference maker. That's what I think and how I think they're going to treat Keon Coleman next year.
So
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How do you think then, do you think there is an addition to either replace an Amari Cooper on the roster, or do you think even there's a chance Cooper comes back? Because to me, maybe they wouldn't bring in a guy to displace Coleman, Sal, but if we're talking about their primary outside receivers going in next year as Coleman and Hollins, I still think there would likely be another body. Just it will depend, I guess, much they want to invest in whoever that other person is.
Well, I guess this is the part where I remind everybody, Joe, that there's 90 players who come to camp, and right now they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wide receivers. You're probably adding like 11 wide receivers this offseason, to be honest with you. I mean, they'll probably bring 13, 14 guys to camp. And I know what you're saying is like, well, those guys are going to be camp bodies, but let's just take the guys they do have still under contract. Okay. Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, KJ Hamler, Tyrell Shavers, Jalen Virgil. Those last three, Hamler, Shavers, Virgil, I think those guys will fight for spots. I think what we saw from Tyrell Shavers was great last year. He had one catch, takes it to the house, 69 yards. I think he's right on the cusp of trying to be that last wide receiver. But is he really going to be a guy that's going to make a dent in actually playing on the field? I'm not sure. He might be a guy that's more a little bit more special teams. Jalen Virgil got elevated, got signed. He actually played a little bit of special teams. Amari Cooper would be that type of player. I don't know if they're playing in that ballpark. What is Amari Cooper getting on the open market? Let's remember, he's only a year removed from back-to-back 1,100-yard seasons. I mean, he's got to have a team that's going to want to pay him a little bit, right? I would think. He's Amari Cooper. He's been in the league a long time. He's putting a lot of work. Are the Bills going to go 1 year, $10 million for Amari Cooper? Is that how much he's going to get? How much would you guys pay him? What's the price point?
The thing that kind of scares me here, Sal, in the state of the wide receivers is if they do bring back Cooper for a modest deal, where is the ability of the group as a total to get the thing that they think they need, which is speed? Right. There's no place for it to come from. Even if you like the idea of Coleman taking that next step, I don't think he's going to give them the thing we kind of think they need, which is the over-the-top guy. And if I come back with Coleman, Shakir, Samuel, Hollins, and Cooper, now I'm on a sixth receiver, and that guy doesn't get on the field. So to me, that's why Cooper is likely on the way out. And wherever they swing in free agency, I just think that there's much more likely that $10 million is spent on somebody younger, somebody faster that fits that mold.
Agreed. I would tell you that I do think, now, I'm not saying and suggesting, guys, that Curtis Samuel's that guy. I do think they wanted more of that from him this year, though. I think that the plan for Curtis Samuel just did not go right this year. And that is a large part because of the toe injury. I think a whole offseason here, it's not like Samuel's been this guy who's been hurt a lot, right? I mean, he had this injury this year, and you're not looking at a guy who's always like that. So I think you can probably hopefully count on him being healthier, coming back to camp. Maybe you kind of give him a fresh start and say, okay, now we're going to kind of use you in that role, which is more of a speed role. But it's also more of a speed role with the ball in his hands, not necessarily running past people, which he does have the ability. I agree with you. KJ Hamler can fly too, but these are not guys that you're going to be relying on. I think you have to have more of a bona fide, you know, speed guy. And where does that come from? I'm not sure. So you're right, Jeremy. The way you put the puzzle together, even listening to Sean McDermott 2 weeks ago, he kind of acknowledged, like, yeah, it's something that we think, you know, maybe more explosiveness is something that they need. So, yeah, I think that they'll probably have to go out and look for something like that. And it probably fits in your, I guess, top four, because Shakir, Coleman, Samuel are your top three in whatever order. And then Mac Hollins, so top five. But somewhere in that top four where a guy's actually on the field and getting reps and running down the field, I think you have to have somebody.
Chatting with Sal Capaccio, his piece at WGR550.com, State of the Wide Receivers. We've got a caller to get into one more issue we want to bring up with Sal. Rick in Olean is up. Hey, Rick. Are you there, Rick? No, Rick. All right. He want to talk about
that sounded juicy.
That's okay. James Cook. We want to talk about James Cook because James Cook, there's a post on Instagram Live, a pinned comment from him, $15 million a year. His brother has tweeted out $20 million a year. Sal, the Bills have a number of players eligible for extensions, And Cook will be a big test on their philosophy at running back. And I wonder if you think that I'm not here to predict that things get ugly, but Cook's in a very unique spot because running back careers start and end quickly. And he's made it this part. And this is where his brother would probably advise him, get paid. His brother got paid, and then he was out quick. And if you're Cook, you're playing on a deal that pays you a grand total of $6 million, and you're looking for, what, 10 a year? So I wonder what happens with Cook. I think this offseason could be a lot about what his plan is, what their plan is on an extension.
100%. So I did write about quarterbacks, and I did write about running backs as well. So people want to go check out those pieces. And the funny thing about those two positions, they're set, right? I mean, like, we know who the quarterback is. All you have to figure out is, like, the backups, Trubisky, White, and Bouchel, or they're all coming back. Like, how does that pecking order work? That's fine. That's a nice little storyline. Running back, same thing. It's James Cook. It's Ray Davis. It's do you bring back Ty Johnson? Good debate, good discussion, but honestly, we know James Cook is coming back. He's a fantastic player. And then you have Frank Gore Jr. The question at both positions, quarterback and running back, is the same. Do the top guys get extensions? And I'm talking about Josh Allen, guys. Yeah. Like, what do you do with his extension? How do you work that number? And then for James Cook, do you give him an extension? That is the only, those are the only questions at these two positions. For me, there's the part of this for James Cook that's also tricky is Terrell Bernard, Christian Benford, Greg Rousseau, and Khalil Shakir. There's four other guys who are in the exact same position at different positions than James Cook. These are five guys all going into the last year of your their deals. You cannot extend all of them. They're not going to be able to do that. Some of these guys, maybe quite a few of them, maybe all of them, are going to go into the last year of their contract. And that's, you know, and then eventually someone's going to leave free agency. Like, that's what happens in this league. Do the Bills allow that to be James Cook? Is it Terrell Bernard? Is it Christian Benford? Is it Khalil Shakir? Is it Greg Rousseau? I don't know. But you're right, Jeremy. The way that they've operated, I've always said this. I think the Bills, one of the things that Brandon Bean has done very, very well is I think he's managed the running back kind of like how they pay and how they form it really well, which is they don't spend a ton of money on it. And he got it. How many times did people say in the past, like, they don't spend high assets on running back? He's a second-round pick, or, I'm sorry, they spend too high of assets on running back. A second-round pick, a third-round pick on Devin Singletary. That's fine, but then they would let him play and walk, and they would use him up. And Singletary was a fine player. Zach Moss didn't hit necessarily. They got something for him. He did a nice job elsewhere. James Cook was a second-round pick, and now he's really paying dividends for them. But how do you maintain that philosophy of I'm not going to pay a running back that kind of money because I have to pay the rest of the roster when you have a guy like this on your team.
Right. And what they would want to do on the timing of it, Sal. Like, would they say, let's wait another year and see if you do it again? And, you know, they would know the risk of paying him even more if he does do it again. For Cook, though, do you agree that he is different? Like, you would know better than me, like, in terms of him personally from year one to how he's been lately. Like, I don't know, like, him, and none of this is even meant to be a criticism, but I heard McDermott in his press conference talk about Cook yelling at him on the sideline, like, in a good way in the AFC Championship game, and he's out there yelling about why he wasn't in the Pro Bowl. Like, he seems more, I don't even know what word I want to put on him, more confident, just more open about his confidence in himself. I don't know if you've agreed, though. Like, has he gone from like a quiet guy to more of a talker?
It's a tough way to explain, Joe, because you sound like if I say more professional, that sounds like he wasn't professional, right? That's not the word I'm trying to look for. I do agree. I think I've seen it. James is a very quiet person, by the way. You know, whenever we're all around him in the media, he doesn't talk a lot. When he does, he's very quiet when he talks. Yeah, I'd say he's thoughtful about what he says. There's no doubt about that. How about this? Here's a word I'll use. I just think James Cook has become very intentional about his career. That's what it is. He has become very intentional, and I think he has really understood what it means to be an NFL running back. And again, if you want to say that's professional, that's fine. It wasn't that he wasn't professional. I think it takes time sometimes for these guys to come in the league. This guy was fantastic in college at Georgia, wins a national championship, comes in the NFL. He's got to work. He's got to get on the field. Fumbles his first snap. He's not the number one guy. Well, why isn't he on the field? His rookie year, Devin Singletary. Second year has this really nice year. And then I think last year it's, okay, I'm here. This is my career. Like, I remember, this is so funny. I'm going to go back a long time to say this. Not a long time, but you guys, it might be, it's the weirdest reference. But I remember Darcy Regier, actually, one time in a press conference talking, and this is like at the height of the Sabres or maybe in the back end of his career, and they were talking about maybe, I don't know who it was, maybe Stafford or I don't know who it was. And Darcy said, at some point, a player realizes they have to take ownership of their career. Mm-hmm. It's not the organization all the time that has to develop them and bring them along. Like, you have the control here too. You have to take ownership of your career. And I think it's a great way for James Cook. I think James Cook has taken ownership of his career, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Great reference, Sal. Great, mm-hmm. great comparison. Yeah. All right. Well, state of the wide receiver is up. If you want to dig into that, WGR550.com.
Tight ends next.
Tight ends next. I'm actually working on that today, actually. I just wrote about Hey, real quick. Yeah. You guys had a great trivia question yesterday. I thought it was going to be a question that I like, but it wasn't the same question. But I'm going to ask you, okay, real quick. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There have been four players who won a Heisman Trophy and a Super Bowl MVP.
Okay, that's Desmond Howard.
Yes.
Okay.
That's usually the toughest one.
He won a Super Bowl MVP?
He did. He had a kick return touchdown.
As a return man, yes.
Wow.
Yep. Okay. Okay, past that, it's
going to One of them is the same answer as yesterday you gave. You went way back a little bit.
Only one of them? Is that Marcus Allen?
Marcus Allen, yep.
Okay.
The other two are actually older than him, but they're famous players. One was Allen's teammate, a quarterback.
Ken Stabler?
Stabler.
Close. Lila after that.
Who's the Raider quarterback after Stabler that wins?
A little after that. He might have had one in between, but he was in the early 80s, yep.
Oh, I don't know.
Jim Plunkett?
Jim Plunkett. Okay, there we go.
And then the last one is a Cowboys quarterback.
Staubach?
Roger Staubach. Yep.
All right.
Roger Staubach won the Heisman Trophy, but he could not play in the NFL because he had to fulfill his military duties. He played at Army. So he did not go to the NFL until like 3 years after that, I believe it was. And then he won a Super Bowl MVP.
Okay. Who's going to be the next one?
Ooh, good question.
Heisman to win the Super Bowl MVP. More and more, like, there was a period there where Heisman winners, like, didn't have a lot of success in the NFL, and now it's starting to become more, like Burrow would be, like, no one would be surprised if Burrow won a Super Bowl MVP, I think, at some point in his career.
But. Staubach played for Navy, by the way.
Navy. Yes. I said Army. Yeah. My apologies. Sorry.
Yes. I only corrected because somebody out there is like, you know, of that rivalry. Don't you dare say he played for Army.
I got it. Like saying that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Princeton or something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yale.
All right. Thanks, Sal.
All right, guys.
Sal Capaccio, he's coming up with the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show at 10 o'clock. 803-0550, we've got to get a break in. Do you want to pay James Cook? Let's talk about it. And where Maurice Jones-Drew ranked him at NFL.com, MJD, all 74 starting, playing running backs in the NFL, where does James Cook rank according to him? We'll see if that changes your mind or spins you one way or the other on whether or not they should pay James Cook. It's going to be one of the stories of the offseason. Jeremy and Joe on Cook, Shakir, Bernard, Benford, Rousseau. Anything else you want to throw at us, you're welcome to. 803-0550 on WGR.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.